Yes. In light of Christmas, we saw two Sundays ago the diabolical deception when Eve and Adam were tempted of Satan the way that he tempts us today. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And Satan came along and said, but God didn't say that. Are you sure that's what he said? He's not very fair. He's holding out on you. You don't have your full potential. You know, God's not right. And so Eve partook of the fruit that God told him not to. But then in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the Lord God shares with us the importance of the fact that he was going to send a lamb. He sacrificed the very first sacrifice ever given to clothe Adam and Eve as a picture of the fact that Christ was going to come. The seed of the woman was going to give Satan a blow to the head, but Satan was going to give the seed of the woman a blow to the ankle, and that was the crucifixion on the cross. And then we have the outlandish request. God requested for Abraham to take his son, take him up to Mount Moriah and sacrifice his son. And as they were going up the hill, Isaac looked at his dead and said, well, behold the fire, behold the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And do you remember what Abraham said? God will provide himself a lamb. What a picture of the fact that God's going to provide a lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. Well, stand by, because we got one more message that we're going to look at today in light of Christmas. Before we do that, though, I would like to encourage you to come tonight. Tonight, we're going to look at something that's very interesting to me. Do you remember in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, the Word of God says this, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. Between the book of Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, and the book of Matthew, there are 400 years. Scholars call them the silent years because scripture is not written, no prophets, no prophecy takes place during those 400 years. But that doesn't mean God wasn't active. God was very active. There's a lot. Listen to this. There are a lot of things that took place in history that prepared the way for the Lamb of God. Silent years. I'm going to hand out a pamphlet tonight, and on PowerPoint, I'm going to put up the answers for you to fill in. Be sure to be here tonight. It's going to be a fun-packed evening. Don't miss it. This morning, though, I'd like to encourage you to open your Bible to Exodus chapter 10. We know that Abraham, the beginning of Israel, had Isaac. Isaac then had Jacob. Jacob had the 12 tribes of Israel. The last son was Joseph, in which we get the two half-tribes that took place from or came from Joseph. Do you remember Joseph? He was that son with many colors that a coat his dad made, and it made his brothers angry. He shared with them prophecies that he saw and what would take place. And so Joseph then was captured, his coat taken. They killed a lamb and covered that coat with blood and gave it to their father Isaac, thinking that son Jacob, his father Jacob, and for sure that he was dead. But Joseph went into Egypt. First of all, he became a prince. He became a servant of the guard. Then secondly, he became a servant of the prison, a keeper of the prison, and then he became the ruler of the land. God used him to save the lives of millions of people, not only those in the land of Egypt, but also those in the land of Israel. Israel then came to Egypt, and during that time they flourished, they began to grow, great things took place. But then there was a battle, according to history, a battle that took place that overthrew the Pharaoh that you knew Joseph. So therefore, we find in the book of Exodus, during a time where Pharaoh did not know Joseph, they chose to put Israel in bondage. that kept them in bondage. And because of that bondage, Israel began to cry out, this isn't right. This is not right. And so we find in Exodus chapter 11, we find the lamb that was needed. It was needed. It shares with us in chapter 11, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go. Hence, when he shall let you go, ye shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. So you remember that Moses, with the mighty hand of God, presented Egypt with several plagues. Do you remember those plagues? And you know, I've often wondered, what were those plagues all about? What was going on? But each one of those plagues had a purpose and had a reason. In the land of Egypt, they had many, many gods. Many gods. And these plagues was to confront each one of those gods. In other words, God was sharing with the world and with Egypt that he is the true and living God, and that the gods of Egypt are phonies. They are filled with fairy tale. They're not true. Do you remember the very first plague in Exodus chapter 7, verses 14 and 15? The Bible shares with us that God, through Moses, made the Nile River into blood. Remember that? This was against three different gods that Egypt had. Kunam was the garden of the river source, Hapi, the spirit of the Nile, and Osiris was Nile was his bloodstream. And so these gods that Egypt had, this Nile River was their god. It's the one that caused their crops to grow and to flourish, for them to have water. But here God is stepping in, showing his mighty hand that he is God, that he is supreme, and that these other gods are phony. You see, it was duplicated by the Egyptians. They were able to duplicate it. And occurs in Goshen, where Israel lived also. And it also caused dead fish and putrid smell. It was revealing that now Moses was back in the land, and that God was getting Egypt's attention, and that he was supreme. They then did not choose to obey God and let Israel go, remember? So God then again stepped in, and he brought frogs into the land. And I think, frogs? I mean, frogs? Yep, frogs. In Exodus chapter 8, verses 1 through 15, this god was named Hapi. Huh, appropriate, huh? It was the frog goddess of Egypt. And both related to fertility. And they looked and uplifted frogs. And in other words, don't step on a frog. You know, it could cause lots of problems. It was also duplicated by Egypt. And it occurs in Goshen, where Israel lived as well. But you remember there in Exodus chapter 8, verses 1 through 15, Pharaoh began to cry out and say, God, you know, we need to get rid of these frogs. And so Moses comes in and says, well, when should I get rid of the frogs? And remember what Pharaoh said? Pharaoh said, get rid of them tomorrow. Now, could you imagine his wife coming to Pharaoh and saying, we got to get rid of these frogs? I mean, you've heard of wall-to-wall carpeting? Well, they had border-to-border frogs. I mean, they were everywhere. They would take a step, and they would step on a frog. They would open up the refrigerator, and right there in the mango juice was a frog. I mean, it just wasn't a pretty sight at all. And Pharaoh's wife just absolutely, absolutely wanted him to go before Moses and ask God to get rid of the frogs. So here's Pharaoh. He goes to Moses, and he comes home, and his wife says, hey, did you tell that preacher to get rid of those frogs? He said, yep, sure did. And his wife says, well, when are you going to get rid of them? He says, tomorrow. Tomorrow? Do you mean I have to spend one more night with the frogs? Tomorrow? Well, why not now? And you know, isn't that the same with us? We need to repent now. We need to respond now. Don't say tomorrow. Do it now. God was introducing himself as the true and living God, the supreme God. Whether that becomes to fertility or whether that becomes to harvest and the growth, everything is up to him. The next plague was the plague of lice. That's found in Exodus chapter 8, verses 16 through 19. And this is the god of Egypt, the earth god of Egypt. And his name was Seb. And this one was not duplicated by the Egyptians. It occurred in Goshen, where Israel lived, and it was attributed to the finger of God. Only God could do this, and this God was the earth god of Egypt. Then the next plague were the flies in Exodus chapter 8, and this God was called Uchit. Yeah, flies, they make me Uchit, that's for sure. The fly, the god of Egypt. And God now makes a separation between the Egyptians and the Israelites. Israelites did not have these flies around. No more plagues will come upon the Israelites. And then the next one was a disease on cattle. And this God was Pitta, Menvis, Hathor, and Amon. And it was the Egyptian god of associated with the bulls and cows. And then we have also the boils, the Shechemite, the Serapis, and the Hymtops. These were the Egyptians' gods of healing and Egyptian gods of epidemics. And then we have the hail that came down, and this was a god named Nut, Isis, and Shu, the Egyptian sky god, and the Egyptian agriculture deities, and the Egyptian god of the atmosphere, the hail that fell down from earth. Once again, God is saying, I am the true and living God. I bring precipitation. I bring the hell. It is all in my hand, and these gods are all fake. And then the gods of locusts, the Serapa, the Egyptian deity, protector from the locusts, and this Pharaoh offers a compromise then, and compromising is rejected. And then the god of darkness, or the plague of darkness in Exodus chapter 10. And this is the god of Re, Amon, Aten. They were Egyptian gods, sun gods. Re is the god that Re or Ra, Atum, Horus, Egyptian sun god, and Thathoth, the Egyptian moon god. And this was all against their God, introducing the fact that he is the true and living God, and that all these gods of Egypt are phony. Now we have the last plague, the plague of the death of the firstborn. So first of all, we see the lamb was needed. Lamb was needed because death was to come to all. In Exodus chapter 11, verses 5 through 6, the firstborn was to die. You know, the Bible shares with us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And the Bible also shares with us in John chapter 3 that God sent his only begotten son, that yes, we must be born again, born from above, born of God. This plague was a plague on the firstborn. In other words, everybody has been born once. The statement is that if you are born twice, you will only die once. If you've been born only once, you will die twice. In other words, to be born once is to be born physically, to be born into this world. But we need to be born twice. The second time is born from above, born of God. Ye must be born again in John chapter 3. And if you are born again, then you will only die once, physically, and where we'll slip off into eternity to spend eternity with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we have not been born twice, we're going to die twice. We'll die physically, but then we'll also die spiritually in a place called hell for all eternity. So when we're talking about the firstborn, we're going to die. Yes, the firstborn in Egypt, we're going to die. But you see, everyone is born once. We're all born once. We're all firstborn. We need to be born again. Born from above, born of God. Therefore, the Lamb is needed. We need a Lamb. We need the forgiveness of sin. And so here we have Egypt, and God is about to introduce his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a picture called the Passover. Not only do we want to see the Lamb needed, but secondly, the Lamb chosen. The Bible shares with us in Exodus chapter 12. And verses 1 through 5, it says this. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their father, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. For your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. The lamb chosen, Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. A lamb was selected on the 10th day, and it was slain between the evening of the 14th and 15th day. The lamb was set aside for death. So Christ the Lamb, the foreordained before the foundations of the world, was also chosen. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, before the foundations of the world, Jesus Christ was chosen to die for the sins of the world. This lamb was chosen so that they can observe it, so they can watch it, make sure that it was healthy. They could not take a lamb that was going to be sick, that was going to die, that was limping around because it was hurt in any way. It had to be a perfect lamb. It was chosen to be slain for the sins of the world. It was watched. It was protected. The same thing as our Savior. For 30 years, they watched him through his ministry. They watched him to make sure that, yes, he was a lamb, the Lamb of God, that was going to die for the sins of the world. So he was chosen before the foundations of the world, but he was also spotless. And the lamb was to be a male without blemish, a picture of the perfect Lamb of God in whom there was no spot or stain. He was a perfect Lamb of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, it says this. Let's read 20 also. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. This Lamb, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was to be spotless, to be perfect, because God was only satisfied with perfection. God is not satisfied with anything but perfection. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God incarnate in the flesh, truly 100% God, 100% man, so that he could die for the sins of the world. He was perfect and without sin as a picture of the Passover. The chosen before, it was slain, it was spotless, and it was also tested. From the 10th to the 14th days, the people watched the lamb to make sure they were satisfactory. Similarly, Christ was tested and watched during his earthly ministry, especially during the last week before he was crucified. Now let's look here in Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, look at verse 3. It says here, Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. Do you see that? A lamb. Look at verse 4. It says, And if the household be to you little for the lamb, let him, and there it is, the lamb. So verse 3, it says a lamb. In verse 4, it says the lamb. But then in verse 5, look at this, your lamb. So it goes from a lamb to the lamb to your lamb. And it's the same picture of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, it says, a Savior. In other words, Jesus Christ is a Savior. And in that thinking, he's a savior of many. There are many others as well. He is a savior. But then in John chapter 4, verse 22, he is the savior, the only one of his kind, the savior. But then in Luke chapter 1, verse 47, he is my savior. When he's called a savior, it refers to a savior of many. There are many, many out there. There are many antichrists that mention themselves a savior. But then he is the savior. In other words, it's getting a little bit closer. He is the only one. He is the savior. He is for somebody else. He's for you. But then last of all, he's my savior. The question today is, have you seen him as the savior? And have you accepted him as my savior? He's my savior. He's my lamb. Is he yours? Have you trusted in him? They had a choice to make. Are we going to pick a lamb? And you know, it's very interesting that the very same time that Israel picked a lamb and sacrificed that lamb is the very same time of the day that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. A picture of the Lamb of God. The question is he my Savior? Is he yours? The only one that can satisfy all of God's righteous demands. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. It had to be a sacrifice that only God can give. A perfect sacrifice that took away the sins of the world. So then we have not only the lamb that was needed, and then the lamb chosen. They chose a perfect lamb, a lamb without spot and without blemish. But then we want to look at the lamb that was slain. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 6. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 6. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. The lamb that was slain. We are saved by his death. In Hebrews 9 verse 22. Leviticus 17 verse 11. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 18 through 23. Christ was slain on the 14th day of the month. The question is where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? Let's look in Hebrews 9 22. Keep your hand in Exodus chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness of sin, no hope. That's why the blood must be shed. Hebrews 9 and verse, where did my notes go? I had them right here. Hebrews 9, 22, Leviticus 17, 11, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. In Leviticus 17, and verse 11, it says this. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Keep your hand in Exodus 11, because then in the next verse, 1 Corinthians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians 1 and verses 18 through 23 says this. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. We preach Christ crucified. Christ was slain for the sins of the world, that we might have life, eternal life, through his name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the lamb was sacrificed at the Passover, so was Christ then sacrificed on the 14th day of the month. And in Genesis 22, verse 7, it shares with us this. Genesis 22. Genesis 22 and verse 7 says this. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, I gave mention to this already, and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb. The promise that would be given in Genesis chapter 22, as well as in John chapter 1, verse 29. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 1, and verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The lamb at the Passover was a picture of what Jesus Christ was going to do for the sins of the world. The lamb slain. Then point number four. So number one, the lamb needed. And we all realize and recognize the fact that yes, we need a savior. We need a redeemer. We need someone that will declare us righteous. And that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lamb that's needed. There's a lamb that was chosen. There's a lamb that was slain. And now point number four, the lamb eaten. The lamb eaten. The yeast is a picture of sin. You see, this lamb that was eaten, it was proclaimed that there would be no yeast. No yeast at all. Yeast is a picture of sin. It works silently. It corrupts. It puffs up. It is only removed by fire. The lamb was to be roasted with fire. Birth into God's family. Only through Christ. There's no leftovers. There's no strangers. No hired servants. No uncircumcised. No one out of the house. Everybody within the house then was declared righteous. The lamb will pass over thee. The lamb eaten. They ate that lamb. Look at Exodus chapter 12 and verse 8. Exodus 12, verse 8, it says, And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with the legs, and with the pertinent thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. So first of all, the lamb needed, the lamb chosen, the lamb slain, the lamb eaten, and now last of all, the lamb trusted. You see, as they were there in the home, there were no strangers. When I think of strangers, I think of people who do not trust in Christ as their Savior. You know, the pilgrims, when they came over in the Mayflower, the strangers were those who were non-believers, those who did not believe in Christ, which I think is a picture here. These strangers did not trust in Christ. They are saved by the blood, assured by the word. The promise was fulfilled in Exodus chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, that they were released. In Exodus chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more, Pharaoh, and upon Egypt afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, and the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people." The promise was fulfilled. Israel was released. They let them go. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a picture of the Passover lamb. Died the very same hour as the lamb died on that Passover day. And that day, Egypt thrust Israel out. You are free. You can go. And that's the freedom that we have in Christ. The Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. In remembrance of Christmas. What a promise that we have. That promise is the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when we think of that lamb, is he a lamb in your sight? Is he the lamb? Or is he my lamb? Is he your lamb today? Have you trusted in him? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning and the hope that we have in Christ. As we look at Christmas, we see all throughout the word of God the promise of the Messiah. Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to know that he was coming. And now as we look back, we can see that promise fulfilled. And as we remember Christmas, help us to think about the Savior that came. And the question today, is he my Savior? Is he my shepherd? Or is he just belong to someone else? Father, I pray if there's one here that's not saved, one here today that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, I pray that today that they'll trust in Christ and Christ alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Kevin, you come.
Please stand and turn to hymn number 167. If God is speaking to you today or touching you, please come up and pray. It's open. All right, got a thumbs up. Here we go. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Verse 2. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Verse 5. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Amen.
Let's close in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, for each one who's here. Father, I pray that this has been a challenge and encouragement to each one of us as we think of the Lamb of God, that even back in the land of Egypt, you were sharing with us what Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was going to do for the sins of the world, that he was going to suffer. Just as that lamb was tried in fire and cooked in fire, our Savior went through there at Pentecost. Father, I pray that certainly we'll recognize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he is Emmanuel, God with us. As we think about Christmas, help us to rejoice in the gift that you have given. Now, Father, if there's someone here today who's rejected that gift, someone here today who's never accepted that gift, I pray that today that you allow the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts and help them to realize that they need to make Jesus my shepherd. My Lamb. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed. I hope to see you tonight. Don't miss tonight.